You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31. Episode number 312. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we once again have no events to talk about, so we're going to talk about something else entirely, and that is the, what are we going to call this? Enterprise 2 episode that was posted?
That is, yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So we should call it that.
Yeah, all right, we'll go with that. we also have really not much else to talk about. It's been really slow, a really slow summer here. We do have an event on the horizon, which is second edition, I think 2 weeks.
That's correct.
Any interest at all?
A modicum.
Modicum
because
of interest.
It is a new, it's the new Infinite Diversity remastered or retiled or refaced lift or something. They did something with Infinite Diversity to make it different, newer, better. We have the technology.
And no preparation required except for sleeves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Still only a modicum, so we'll see.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. between this episode and the next episode, we will have Comic-Con, so there's some things to look forward to us talking about next time. But do you have anything else we want to talk about this week?
Well, there is. I don't know what your interest is, if you still, I know you don't play, but the Timelines had a new, not just a new event, but a new style of event this weekend. It was really interesting. I know some of our listeners play that, so we could touch on that. If it's still not over, we've got tonight until tomorrow morning to get into it. So,
when was the last time you checked it?
Well, that's part of the interesting thing is you don't have to check it all the time. You just have to do it in chunks. Every time you check in, as soon as you start, you have a chunk of time you have to do as much as you can in that chunk of time. So it's good and bad. You know, it's not like the shuttle missions where you're constantly, you know, every X hours you have to be, you know, 100% on your game if you want to stay on. But you have to have a really free chunk of time to really do some damage. So we can talk about that if that's but first we should talk about Enterprise. So
yeah,
let's see how that goes.
All right. So I found this about maybe a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was so as I found it, a team in Germany spent the last 8 years putting this stop motion thing together. Which was a huge chunk of time.
Yeah.
But as I said, the opening credits for the episode, the Enterprise episode, were remarkably well done. The computer generated graphics between the puppet show was spot on, I thought. A lot of it was very, very well done. I was able, looking back, I think I was able about maybe a third of the way through, I stopped thinking that's a toy, that toy's talking, and I was able to think, okay, that kind of looks like Archer. It was probably a little bit more before getting the voices to click, trying to match the voice in my head with what I was reading. You know,
sure. I thought Travis was pretty good.
Yeah, Travis was good. I really thought T'Pol was spot on because even in German, she sounded like T'Pol. I thought. but no, I enjoyed it enough to watch the whole thing and tell people about it. So what did you think?
I have to say the fact that you wanted me to watch it so we could talk about it definitely pushed me through some rough spots. I got about 20 minutes in, and I was just like, oh, just stop talking. There was so much exposition.
And yet,
which,
yeah, go ahead.
In and of itself is like, okay, that's tough, but you got to get through it. On top of that, it's all in German and subtitled. And I'm already a slow reader. So, you know, the talking dolls thing was weird, but I never got to see any of it because I was basically reading the whole thing. I got very little visual interaction with the toy stop motion because I was reading the whole time, and I, you know, I basically only got to enjoy the visual effects, which was fine during the space battle. But yeah, so much talking. You know, I liked the concept. It definitely felt like, you know, they called it a movie, but it felt like we were watching, you know, I don't know, episode 18 or 19 of like a 22 episode season.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You mentioned they had a lot of exposition, but they didn't really tell. They gave, I thought, just enough of the story that you could kind of piece in what was going on in the background. You're right. It was there was a lot of story that we didn't get, but I didn't mind because by the time we got to the end, I was able to kind of puzzle out, okay, so they've been over here. They were fighting these guys. For some reason, they have ships from the alternate timeline. I guess that's what models they had. That was kind of weird. That kind of took me out of it. But they did this stuff, and then they met this other crew, and they helped them out, and there was some interesting timeline discussion there. And then we got to the end, and it kind of did that episode wrap-up thing where, okay, these guys know about it, but we're going to go back off, you know, and the rest of the universe and the timeline has been restored. I kind of felt like it was an interesting... It was like the important part of a bigger story, and I was able to fill in the gaps for the rest of the story, so I didn't mind that it was missing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not about what was missing. Like, I liked that it jumped in media res. You know, you kind of have to figure out, oh my god, who are these bad guys they're talking about, and why are they damaged, and all of that. But when they did stop for exposition, it was just block of text. The Vulcan explanations like over and over and over. I was like, if we're going to do the jump in the middle of stuff, let's just keep rolling with that. But they obviously had to have some kind of exposition to resolve it, because they did, you know, like I said, I felt like we jumped in the last, you know, 10th of a season arc, which was cool, and I was totally down with that. But then they tried to cram those last four episodes into 1 hour and all the exposition, and I still don't understand what happened at the end. You know, I got the premise, okay, time loop, okay, bad things are happening, we have to fix the timeline, and then, all right, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who wants to watch it, but basically stuff happens and we're like, okay, that's what we thought would happen. And they're like, hey, that fixed it. I'm like, how did that fix it? I don't understand. Okay, well, now that this is fixed, we can't let anybody know because nobody else knows about it. Like, okay, knows about what? What did you do? Nothing happened. Yeah. And I you know, you mentioned the toys kind of taking you out of it a little bit. I was like, well, oh, sick bay. Well, we're going to have Trip or T'Pol take care of Trip. And Trip take care of Travis because we don't have a Phlox toy, and there's no Hoshi because we don't have a Hoshi toy.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's kind of bummer. You know, those are two of my favorite characters.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I mean, they kind of glossed over some of it. I have to admit, I noticed that Phlox was missing. I didn't notice that Hoshi was missing. But on the other side, I thought it was interesting that they used the alternate, you know, the new Trek ships they just used them for the bad guys, so you can kind of tell who was who. That was okay. But was one of the two bad guys a Terminator?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. That was odd, an odd choice. At least they had a well thought out backstory about why they hate, you know, biological life forms.
Yeah, well, and which they told in another block of text.
Yeah, very long.
But I did like it that it was kind of named after a sign of the zodiac, so you kind of be like, oh, they're not quite Cylons.
Yeah. That's what they should have been. They should have made them Cylons.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I convinced you to watch it. You spent an entire hour. Do you wish you had the hour back, or was it entertaining enough at least to get as something different?
You know, it was interesting. There were definitely some good aspects of it. I liked the storytelling, you know, where it was going. I was a little disappointed. I mean, and I obviously saw it coming that it had that Star Trek play it safe reset button at the end, which was a little disappointing. But because it's Enterprise, obviously, you know, there's all this future history that has to happen, so they can't do anything like that. So knowing that that was, you know, a caveat going in, I didn't mind it as much. So that was the whole point of the episode, as opposed to, oh my God, all this stuff happened, and how is that going to affect things? Oh no, we're going to reset back to zero. So that was cool. I just wish I had understood more of how they did it. And I honestly would have, I would love to take this, you know, with the permission of the guys who did it, obviously, and do a dub, an English dub, because I don't know. I'm wondering, like, how much I would have minded the blocks of text if I wasn't sitting there having to, you know, read the subtitles the whole time.
So do you prefer your anime dubbed or subtitled?
Well, I haven't watched that much anime because I, like, everybody bags on the dubs and I hate having to read the subtitles. So, you know, I've watched very little because of that. I'm trying to get over that. Apparently now I'm told there are some very high quality dubs, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get some recs for that. I actually just watched One Punch Man subtitled, which if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend it. It was a friend of mine pointed it out to me because she knew I was a fan of The Tick, and it's very much in that vein.
Okay. Okay. I wonder how much it would cost to get like four actors, you know, the guy who played Archer, the guy who played
Bakula.
Yeah, Bakula, the guy who played Mayweather. You know, just that's like the four lead guys, and pay them to actually read the lines.
That'd be cool.
I mean, they're not doing much.
I'm sure you could do everyone but Bakula.
Yeah.
Bakula, he's got a series.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, he's on.
Oh, that's right. He's one of the NCCSIS.
Yeah, NCIS No.
New Orleans? All right. That would be entertaining to actually have it. You're right. It would have been, well, then you would have been staring at the puppet stalking all the time.
And, like, T'Pol looks like, I don't know, somebody shaved her nose.
Yeah, that was not a good T'Pol doll.
T'Pol?
T'Pol, yeah.
T'Pol? T'Pol.
That would be interesting. Do you think you could find, because I looking at the credits, it looked like maybe four or five people did all the voices. You think you could find three or four people to do everything?
Sure.
All right.
In my copious spare time?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. So would you, if they released another one, you know, in another 8 years?
Yeah.
You know, would you pursue that? I think I would have to, because I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, it was definitely well done enough to be interested in seeing, you know, what else they could do. Hopefully they can get over the writing block, because the storytelling was there. It was the execution of the dialogue. You know, hopefully they can workshop that and improve upon it, because
almost
is on the way. Yeah.
All right. Very good. I would agree. I had a great time. Like I said, I've been recommending it to people if they have an entire hour to kill, and apparently if they can read fast. Yeah, the T'Pol action figure was not the greatest. But I really liked, I mean, looking, just watching it, I watched some of it this afternoon, kind of a second time through, when I'm not quite paying as close attention to the text. And as someone's talking, you know, the guys in the background are shifting in their chair, and The production value was pretty good.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. I didn't like the exploding terminals because it was obvious that that was the one thing that was not stop motion. It was actual fire and sparks. But, you know, that'd be kind of hard to do with CGI, so I'll give that a pass. And as far as a card, there was a still in the CGI of the Columbia's plate just floating by.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was a really nice touch.
Yeah, I would totally take that. And it bounced off the shields as the enemy ship flew by. that's just debris field. We need a debris field card to slow people down. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll take that. All right, very good. So go check it out. You can search YouTube for Enterprise 2. I think that's what I look for, Enterprise 2, Star Trek, and it popped right up. So have a look if you're interested at all, and let us know what you think. That's section31@danhammond.com. Shall we move on and discuss this game that you enjoy?
Yeah, let's just touch on it real quick, because I'm interested to hear. Now, I mentioned on a couple of days ago, we had a brief discussion about it, how I it was the day it came out or the day after, and I was very excited. I thought this was the best design event that they had come up with so far. And some other people that we talked to were not as big of fans. And now I've had some time to go through it. So this event is different than some of the others in that it's not a shuttle event like the other ones. Do you remember how the away missions worked? So you'd have a series of lines where you'd have to use a different skill each time.
Yeah, you get to pick, three or four people? Was it three people?
Three people, yeah. You can take up to three crew members.
And you know what skills you're going to need. So you choose people who are good at that. And then you follow the path, and this one, you know, you use this guy over here, and then that may block you off from something over there, but you use the best person over there, and you get a penalty if you use the same person twice in a row? Is that what the deal is?
Yes, that's correct. So you get a wireframe of however long it is. In this case, every mission was six steps long. And so you usually have either one or two options. So you start with security. You have to use security. And then for step two, you can either use diplomacy or leadership. And then those come back to you have to use engineer, and then those break off into whatever. So you have a couple of options, but you can tell you're going to have to, I need a lot of security for this one, and I'm going to need medical here and science here. So you can plan out which crew to bring. And in some cases, some of those points are going to have little stars, or if you get a critical on it, so you have, probably at least the required amount of skill plus a little more, then you get a bonus. So the point of this one was to get all four critical points on each mission to get you the bonus points for the event. So and it was like the other missions, you go through all five adventures on the basic tier, and then all five on the elite tier, and then all five on the epic tier. And they're worth different levels of points. The trick here is, you mentioned if you use the same guy twice in a row, he takes a hit. He's not as good at those skills for the next time because he's tired. Well, this is called an expedition event. So every time you use a guy, they take a hit. And it does not reset until your time period is over.
Oh, my. So if you need six stops and you got three people, they're each going to take at least two hits.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you're using, the reason I loved it so much is because we're in the middle of baseball season, and this straight up felt like a dream manager. I've got my 75 crew or my 60 crew or my 50 crew, however big your crew is. And I've got this many missions to go through. And so, you know, it's not like the shuttle missions where you're like, okay, I have to do these skills. So I'm going to drop my three highest guys and send them on the shuttle. And I know I'm going to get it. It was, okay, we're on the basic tier. The requirements for this skill are 65. So I don't need to drop in my 600 science guy. I can go down here and say, oh, this little cadet person who has been sitting here, I'll send her. She's got 100 science, so she can get that 60 science. And so it's all about managing your players and, you know, trying to use them in the right order and getting through those early missions so that then you have your middle guys left to do the elite level missions. And if you're lucky, have some of your heavy hitters left to hit those epic level missions. There's a lot of personnel management, and I really dug it. You know, you really had to, I think, strategically, it's the most strategy this game has thrown at its players, you know, by a long shot. So it was really cool. It was really involved and interesting. To me, the downside of it, and what a lot of people are complaining about, is the time commitment. Because when you start, instead of, like I mentioned, you know, for the shuttle missions, you had to go, all right, we're starting at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Shuttle, set the timer. 3 hours later, shuttle. 3 hours later, you know, do I get up overnight? Do I use my pumps to sleep for 9 hours and then get up? You know, and so you have to be attentive the whole time. This one gave you 4 tickets for the weekend, and each ticket gets you 2 hours. So you can do whatever you can do in 2 hours while your people are not too tired to do anything. You can get as many points as you can in that block of time. Again, are you not free on Friday? Are you working? Okay, are you doing something on Saturday? You don't have to worry about it. You can just do it. You know, you can do them all on one day. Like I think Ken Tufts was saying in the chat room, he blew all his tickets on the very first day. And he's like, I am in the top 20 on the ranking boards. You know, I'm going to lose it while everybody else spends their tickets over the weekend. But it was cool to, you know, get to see myself on the top screen. So that was cool. I liked that you get to choose when you want to spend your time, but it's also, you know, the advantage I had for doing the shuttle missions with, you know, the newborn in the house. I was like, oh, I'm getting up to change a diaper. Well, I guess I'll, you know, change out my shuttles and go back to sleep. Now it's like, holy crap, I have to find 2 hours like where I can sit and do this. And yeah, that's just, it's not happening.
Make sure you're plugged in, right?
Exactly. You got to make sure you're plugged in. And, you know, I didn't even know what this event was. So I turned it in and I flipped a ticket on Friday morning. And I was like, oh, crap, I can't do this. I have to work. You know, I was working from home. So I was like trying to hit shuttles and I was trying to answer email and I was trying to keep an eye on the baby. So, yeah, the time sink is a different type of time sink for this one. So it's a little bit more, I guess, some people who just play this casually did not like the intensity of this one, but from a strategic standpoint, 100% loved this event.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like it plays to a different, strengths, you know, right? Rather than the other ones.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they're mixing it up is what I'm getting at, you know. Previously,
exactly.
It was, you know, as long as you can keep getting up and doing it on the spot, that's great. But this one is just intensity, you know, all at once. That's interesting.
Yeah. The biggest complaint, and I will agree with this one, that people have come for this, is that to get those bonuses, you have to get the critical. And I don't know if you remember this or not, or if you played it long enough to get this, but just because you get a critical on that particular part of the event doesn't necessarily, that gives you a chance. It's like a threat and then a crit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I got the threat. Now I have to roll again to see if I get the treasure. And if I fail, then I have to go through the whole thing again and still have somebody good enough to crit on that part.
And your people are exhausted from that, so...
Yeah, and so every time you go through, your people keep getting more and more exhausted. And if you get 3 stars and you're trying to get that 4th star so you can clear out this mission so that you can move up to the next tier of this mission, it can be very frustrating. That part I agree with. I feel like for this particular event, the way it was structured, they could have retooled that rule and said, okay, you know what? Every time you crit, you get the thing.
Sure.
Let's just make it do that.
Do you get to save your achievements between your 4 tickets, or you have to start from scratch each time?
So each time your ticket is up, all your personnel reset and all your missions reset. So the other complaint has been kind of how repetitive it is. I did not have a problem with that because I liked trying different strategies on it. The first time I went through and did all the first tier missions 100% all the way through, and then I moved on the next one. The second time I tried to do it vertically. I did the first one completely, and then I did the first one on the next tier completely, and then the first one on the highest tier. I tried moving some guys around. I tried a kind of a cheat mode that kind of works that I'll see if that works well for my next ticket. But yeah, I liked the getting to try different things. But yeah, it does reset each time. And then the kicker, which I didn't realize until as we were going through, I was like, well, I'm going to save one of these for later, is that one of the rewards as you go through the tiers and get points is more tickets.
Oh. Well, there you go. So you,
yeah.
The rich get richer, huh?
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't think I'm going to spend all of these. But for once, my goal is always just to break the top 1,000 so I can get an extra legendary. And then if I have time, I'll keep playing so I can see how high I can get. I know I can play one more ticket and make the top 1,000, so I'm not going to sweat it. I've got 3 more tickets right now, and I got 6 hours. It's 11 hours left in the game.
That's 3 tickets.
And I've got 6 hours a game. Like I'm not going to sit down and play these 6 hours worth of tickets. That's just obscene. So I know I can sit down and play an hour of one ticket and hit the top tiers and get my top, hit the top 1,000. So I think I'm going to do that. But yeah, if you have a lot of time and you're really good at the strategy, you like this, this could be a lot of fun, intense Star Trek personnel management.
Neat. So I haven't played in, weeks since it was taking up too much of my time in my brain. So, if I were to jump back in at this point, all my guys are going to be pretty low level. Do you find do your level guys level up fast enough to, to participate in something like this?
Like immediately? I don't know. Oh, so you mean like the event people?
Yeah, I mean like if I picked it back up and played for a week or two. And then an event came out. Would I have any chance, or since I wasn't around from the beginning, kind of out of luck?
It would depend on what the event is. This one would be hard. You'd be able to go through like the first tier, certainly. The last event on the first tier was only, I think, 150, 175 for the highest skill. So, I don't know if you still had crew or if you're talking about starting from scratch, you'd probably have to work out for a little while and build up a crew. But one of the things I did like about this, which is tangentially related to your question, was the two event personnel were Sherlock Holmes Data and Dr. Watson Geordi. And they were both insanely difficult to level up. They required extremely high level equipment at very low levels, which everybody was complaining about, including me. Until I realized that because of the nature of this event, a 30th level Geordi was actually quite cool. It was still, he was very helpful at those low levels. I had an extra guy who was very good. And all of your Datas and Geordis, as with all of the events, the event personnel get bonuses. And so for this particular event, those personnel, Data and Geordi, got tired slower.
Oh,
they took a half penalty, which was very cool.
Nice. All right. Well, enjoy that. We are going to wrap up. I don't think we have much else to talk about. I'm looking at the site to see if anything turned over at 9 o'clock. I don't see anything new. So we will just wrap up with that, I think.
That sounds good. That is our intelligence for this week. But we will have Comic-Con coverage coming at you next week and hopefully some ID draft from someone who is there. Towards the end of the month. In the meanwhile, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw the hand.
And you'll be double crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.